Horace Silver with Que Pasa. This is from his 1964 album, Song for My Father. Horace Silver, of course, is on piano, Carnell Jones on trumpet, Joe Henderson on tenor sax, Teddy Smith on bass, and Roger Humphreys on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it is Free Your Mind Friday. What is Free Your Mind Friday? For those of you joining us perhaps for the first time, welcome. Free Your Mind Friday is a day devoted to the thoughts and opinions of the listening audience. You have your own ideas of what it is you want to say, things you want to bring to our attention. But as we discussed some time ago, and we've been, this is a progression, progressive kind of action that we've been taking to encourage people to use the airwaves in a specific way to not only convey their thoughts and to share their own opinions about things, but also to increase their ability to be effective communicators when they have a chance to share their thoughts in various forms of media. It's not just about people talking. It's about you using your skills and your knowledge and your abilities to communicate effectively so that there is a purpose to you talking. All right, so that's what Free Your Mind Friday is all about. And the number to call is 888-874-4888 to have your thoughts expressed live on air. We start with Patricia from New York. Hello, Patricia. How are you doing?
Good afternoon, Eutrice, and good afternoon to the PRN family. I hope this call finds everyone well.
Thank you.
I'd like to continue the conversation from yesterday regarding Breonna Taylor and her choices in men. And you know I love you dearly, but I'm going to have to disagree with you on this. You know, regardless of the choice that she, the clearly poor choices that she has made in men, her killing did not have any connection to do with the choice that she had made in this particular partner. Now, I think the issue that you raise is an important one, and it's a germane one, because it's a conversation that is current in the population, especially among Black women who find themselves partnerless. And, you know, we're in a world where human connection is so important. But for a myriad of reasons, Black women find themselves unpartnered. You have Black women who just turn their backs on Black men who turn their backs on Black women for whatever reason. They go outside of the race for whatever reason. But her killing, her death, they didn't come in looking for her partner. They came in looking for someone completely different. And so I don't see... So in my opinion, there is no connection between the two. It's an important conversation, but it's not necessarily germane to the fact that she was killed.
Okay. I appreciate that. And I'm not saying that it isn't an important difference and a very important difference to make. And it is. What I'm saying is this. We know it appears that one thing has nothing to do with the other. But in fact, in a sense, it does. And that is that choices are made. People, women particularly, because this is a subject that deals with women. Here's a woman who clearly had begun to make her own way in life. Went to school, qualified as an emergency medical technician. She was putting her life together. It would seem she had a child and she was on her way, as a 28-year-old, on her way to making her own statement in life. Why do we see no connection between a choice that she made, or choices that she made, and the fact of how she died? I don't know why we don't see the connection there. It is perhaps so oblique that we don't see it, but there is a connection. And the connection to me is this: you make a choice in life, and you're proceeding along a path that appears to be putting things in place, but are they really? And this last person that she was involved in was a second man in her life. But then there were these extenuating circumstances that shaped her life. And it wasn't about, looking to advance in life and so forth. All those things were not, to me, the point of where she was. Where she was still was at a point where there were great conflicts in the choices that she made. And they appeared not to be connected at all, but in fact they were. When the police came at her door to effect an arrest, you would say, well, what the heck does that have to do with her? What does that, how does that connect with who she was? They didn't come looking for her. They came looking for somebody else. That was a crazy disconnect there, but at the same time, we cannot disconnect it. Things happen in life that appear completely unconnected, but they are not unconnected. They're very much connected, except we don't see it in the moment. She was at a point in her life where, how should I put it? There were aspects of her life that were not conducive to a life that she was on her path to. And that is because she got involved with men who were on a whole different path entirely, that were not necessarily that was not necessarily it wasn't necessarily meshing with where she was intending to go. But in life, this happens. You get involved with people, and they bring things into your life you don't want or need. But you suffer the consequences just the same, whether directly or indirectly. And you have to take a look at it at some point and say, this is not what I need right now in my life. I was on a different path. I'm going to proceed with that because that's where I want to go. And it does not involve illegal an illegal path in life. It does not compromise me. It does not hold me hostage. I'm on one path. I'd like to stay on that path because it is the better path for me and my child. I don't need to be involved, even tangentially, in a life that would bring me grief, or that could bring me a lot of grief, a lot of trouble. I don't need it. I have my education. I pursued that. I achieved that. I could live a decent life without all the other entanglements, because all the other entanglements conflict with where I want to go in life and could cause me a great deal of harm. I don't need that. So I'll leave that aside and continue on my path. That's what I'm saying.
But Eutrice, I agree with everything you're saying. However, if you had said to me that the police were looking for this particular individual that she was affiliated with, or the police was looking for an associate of this individual, then I would have absolutely no disagreement with your assessment. But they were not. The fact that they came to them.
But that's what I'm saying. In life, things are not always in a straight line. Things are not always logical. Things happen that are completely different from what you would imagine, but they are related because they came looking for someone at that address. Whether that person truly was involved or not involved, or was the right person or the wrong person, that's not even consequential. It happened to be completely disconnected, maybe. But that is how life works. Something completely disconnected, perhaps, occurs, but it causes direct harm to you. And in a way, when you look at it, you see there is a connection, because it's a world in which people are connected without even knowing they're connected. It is a very strange kind of events. We think that all events are consequential and they occur in sequence, and there's a rational explanation for everything, and there isn't. Something completely different would occur in your life that has nothing to do with your everyday life, or it appears to have no connection, but it does, because the consequences are direct. The consequences are direct, and you are mixed up in it somehow. I don't know what the word is that I'm looking for, but it's a kind of cosmic thing that happens sometimes when things happen to you that shouldn't happen to you, and they have no direct connection to you, it would seem. But you are suffering the consequences nonetheless. That's what I'm saying. And we can't ignore the fact that even if the events of that day were complete, did not involve her at all, this is what sometimes happens. When you are on your path, and your path appears to be straight, you appear to be doing the right thing, and you know, you're moving along on a predictable path. Something comes out of nowhere that seems completely unrelated, but it is not. Because in the end, if you were to look at why the police were there, what they were looking for, who they were looking for, you can see there are lines that do connect. The problem here is that she may not have been involved in anything at all. And yet, she got embroiled in it simply because of connections in her life that shouldn't, that didn't bring her any kind of good at all. In the end, it costs her her life. And that brings me to the point of, we have to, at some point, look at the connections and the ways in which we are living and the cost. I know people, very nice people, great people, with a lot of potential, very smart women, who have been dragged down and also suffered fatal consequences because they didn't pay attention to these things. They were connected to a world that could do them harm, and they chose not to see it. They chose not to deal with it. Because what mattered to them most at that time in their lives was companionship, or they had a man in their lives, and that was better and more desirable than, you know, going it alone and proceeding with your agenda and your path. They get sidetracked. And suddenly, a life that is not connected at all to what they want to accomplish is the primary purpose for which they're living, and then consequently dying. So we constantly have to evaluate this, because this happens way too often in our community. It's a subject we don't talk about. But women very often are paying an extremely high price for the sake of companionship, or the sake of wanting a man in their lives to stabilize their household. By then they have children and so forth. But it is not a good thing. It is not a good connection. It is not going to do very much to advance what they really want in their lives, which is stability, a sense of accomplishment. They try to make their own way, but they get diverted. And the man and his needs and his wants become, these things become far more important than their own sense of self-reliance and accomplishment. And in some cases, as we saw, it would be fatal to them. But they don't see it. They don't see the possibility of it ever turning out that way, because they're not paying attention to what really is the value of this connection that you have with this man. Who is this man? What is he bringing into your life? Is this what you really want? Is this going to help you achieve what is most important to you at this time in your life, at least based on what you think? But then you can see when you start, the threads start developing, you see them going in the wrong direction, and you still feel like Well, at least he's here. At least I have a man in my life. That's not necessarily a good equation to live with, and it can cost you your life. I talked about this with a friend yesterday, just yesterday. And we are seeing things in the literal sense, okay? A and then B and then C. We can see it in the sequence. We can see that. We don't see those things that we really need to look at and flesh out in our lives. What is supposed to come of a relationship with this man in my life? Who is he? What is he bringing into my life? What kind of direction is my life going to take by being connected to him? These are questions that we need to ask a lot, because the damage is real in our communities. We have serious damage going on. In some cases, it ends in death. But in other cases, it ends with people losing everything they have. It ends in people sinking even lower and lower and lower psychologically, because the damage is real. And we don't take time to evaluate what is the basis of a relationship with anybody. Where could it possibly go? What could come out of this? And in the end, would it be good for me and my child or my children? These are the things that we need to ask, but we don't ask, because we are in a state, such a state of wanting, of needing, that we don't pay attention to logic at all.
I don't disagree with anything that you said. You know, as I said already, this is a conversation that we need to have, because the alternative to what you're talking about, we all want to be partnered. We all have that need to have an emotional connection with another human being, especially another human being of the opposite sex. And so women risk not being partnered, and they make bad choices. So I agree with you. This is a conversation. It's a conversation we've had within my own family. I've seen the consequences of women who've made bad choices in my own family. But for that very reason, they don't want to be alone. Uh-huh. However, and I think we're just going to have to disagree on this one, because I understand what you're saying about the oblique nature, and not everything proceeds in a linear fashion. And I think the only thing that I think that we can agree on is that the police came looking for someone who was in the drug culture, and he was in the drug culture. But they weren't looking for him.
Right.
And that's where I am. They weren't looking for him. They weren't looking for an associate of him. They weren't looking for him.
And that also is a casualty. Many women are a casualty of this. You called it oblique. It's a very, very good word. An oblique relationship or an oblique set of circumstances, but they impact directly on you.
Yes.
And we also have to throw that in the mix when we consider or make decisions about who we bring into our lives. Not only your direct connections with the world, but what are your indirect connections to the world that could affect me and my children or my child? We have to start thinking that way.
Yes, we do. Have a good weekend.
Thank you, Patricia. Thanks for your call. Josh from Manhattan, you're on the air.
That will put me under me.
Hello?
Hello, Beatrice. Can you hear me?
Yes, but kind of muffled. You sound muffled.
Let me try this. Good afternoon. My name is Josh from Manhattan.
And
yes, can you hear me better now?
It's still muffled, but we can manage.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to want to dialogue with you about the issue of white fragility. I'm a white person, and contrary to the opinions of Matt Taibbi and Gary Noh and even my own brother, I have found that work to be very insightful and very valuable. I particularly want your opinion because, though this is the first time I have listened to your program, I have followed you for decades from the City Sun to WBAI, and I did not know about this program following Gary's show. I'm also curious, and you may have spoken about this at some other time, I was surprised to perceive that you are on PRN with Gary, because I have a recollection of when you were the BAI station manager, relations not being very cordial, to say the least. So if you're able and willing to speak about that, I'm very curious. But I've always valued your insights, and that's why I was calling today about the issue of white fragility.
Well, the situation at WBAI was very toxic, and it was organized to be toxic. It was one person in particular who felt that the time had come to basically take over the station. And despite all the protestations to the opposite, it was a brutal decision. If I can't have it my way, I will destroy it. I was not in any way interested in that kind of thing. I'm a person, I like working with people and I like achieving shared objectives. That was not that person's temperament. And she systematically destroyed the station, destroyed the architecture of the station, destroyed relationships with the station, which was at that time headed toward a particular goal, which is achieving independence and basically being a stable point of reference for a community needing an entirely different point of view. Her view was that the only point of view that mattered was hers, and did a number of things, not at all different from what any COINTELPRO type operation would do, and caused incredible damage to the station, to the point where it almost ceased to exist. I was not interested in a leadership capacity. I liked what I did. I liked the work I was doing. I enjoyed it. But people came to me and said, you have to do something. And, as I look back on it, we did something. But it was also a case of not just the actions of one person wanting this one thing to happen, which is to take over a station and a network that was burgeoning at the moment. but also to destroy it. Whatever the architecture was that we were building on, to destroy that. And people came to me. I mean, I'm minding my own business. But they came to me and said, you have to stop it. And I did see how important it was to stop it. And I did. I stopped it. And so that didn't in any way cancel the plan to take over the station and the network. But at least for the moment, we stopped it. Dead in its tracks. People were violent. They professed to continue to be violent. And she was the person. She was the singular person who initiated this and brought this sentiment into the network and destroyed it. But enough of it remains just the same. People were able to see eventually, it took a while, what it is that was actually happening. It was a systematic effort to destroy and take over the station, not just as a property, but to take over the architecture of the station, to instantly, by taking it over, to realize the establishment of a network. And that we stopped. We stopped that. It came at a very high price, I must tell you, because it involved a lot of suffering. People were attacked, some cases physically. People were targeted for all kinds of terroristic action. And the behavior of that group with their so-called leader calling the shots as to what's next. It was no different from the kind of right-wing, ultra-right-wing activity that we see today. And it's a story that should be told, but the most important thing was that we prevailed just the same and saved the network from that kind of terror and that takeover action that was planned. We stopped it. It cost a lot. It cost a lot of people important things in their lives. And for no reason, we were just targeted and threatened. Our lives were threatened and so forth. It was a terrible thing that happened. And people still are not ready to receive the truth of it. They're not ready. They will fight you tooth and nail and tell you what you are saying is not true. But we know it to be true. It's a very painful period the station went through. And I continue to say it was the thought of one individual in particular who decided that the time had come to own a network, which at the time was just fledgling. It was trying its best to be a network, but there were thoughts that it had enough infrastructure in place that it could grow into a real bona fide network and make a lot of money. And therefore, it was worth tackling and destroying in order to initiate this switch. The actions are contemptible, still are, and the truth will be known. Eventually, it will be known. But many of us know the truth of it. Thanks for your call.
Can we go on to the next subject about white fragility?
Well, actually, we have so many people in queue waiting, so we have to divvy up our time today.
Okay, so perhaps just be brief about that.
Another day, you can continue your conversation. But I think you got your first and more important issue addressed.
Yes, and I'm
Thank
grateful.
You. Thank you. Jason from Mount Vernon, you're on the air. Hello, Jason.
I can hear you.
Okay.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. There's so many things to talk about, but I like to think of putting things in perspective. We all have freedom of speech, and we all would like to be heard and not to have our words interrupted or our thoughts interrupted when we are sharing ideas and concepts and further insights into different aspects of current events. That being said, the Breonna Taylor incident is truly a death by cop situation. Doesn't matter if her boyfriend or her ex-boyfriend was criminally involved in some other aspects. That's not what is at hand here. We have, if I may, without being interrupted, we have a circus of media where mainstream media, progressives, predominantly white, are looking to do a deflection of the issue. And they will roll out aggressive attacks on black men, aggressive attacks on Breonna Taylor's lack of discernment, which you are really talking about, in the lion's share of this particular Free for All Friday, as well as her judging by the company she keeps. Now, these are character assassinations. Given the climate, given the fact that the climate right now is to deflect, confuse deliberately in the media and in also online press and social media, and to attack black culture, black men, particularly straight black men, and elevate the LGBT community, to elevate anti-black sentiment, black men sentiment. You have Billy Porter out there being rolled out, who he is. However, he doesn't represent black culture. He may represent a subsection of black culture. I'm just talking about the players involved. Breonna Taylor, yes, it's a lack of discernment, but she nevertheless died at the hands of trigger-happy white supremacist cops who have a history of doing this type of nonsense. Let's try to keep on target. If you love black culture, you love black people, let's not get in part of...
Wait a minute. You have assumed a whole bunch of things here and presented them as facts, and they're not. Secondly, and perhaps I should promote it to firstly, I'm entitled to an opinion. And that's what I did. I gave an opinion on something. It is not to be construed as the gospel truth and the only truth. It is simply an opinion to which I am entitled.
We all are entitled to it. No one has
No. We're not going to go with the we all are. You specifically called to challenge my position in terms of expressing an opinion. I did not talk about the police or anything like that. I was specific in my talk about what this did to me, what it brought to my mind. You can't tell me what is in my mind, and you can't tell me whether it is on track or off track. You can disagree.
You
cannot lord over my opinion. I won't allow it.
You, you have to allow it because you have a free for all Friday.
What I'm saying, because I come from that community and I do represent a point of view, even when we disagree, it is not an illegitimate point of view. It is a perfectly legitimate point of view to be considered. And you haven't heard it, obviously, because you have taken this my observations on a whole different track.
That's incorrect.
Well, I'm telling you what you have done. I'm reacting.
That's your perspective. You're misinterpreting it.
Am I supposed to give you your perspective or my perspective?
You have a right to your opinion, but who are you to dictate the conversation and navigate if it's a free fall Friday? It's a free fall.
Friday. Here you are now. You're now openly attacking me, and I won't.
No, you're attacking yourself.
I won't have it. I spent my life affirming the right to express my opinion and the opinions of our community. You are not going to be allowed to attack me. You're demonstrating your inability to have a decent conversation.
Absolutely
you're telling
not.
Me what I
you
can't do, what I can't say, why I'm wrong.
You have the floor. You interrupted me. You have the lion's share of dialogue. You dictate the conversation.
I have the lion's share of dialogue? No. I am the host of this program, whether you like it or not. I host this program.
That's neither here or there. A woman died at the hands of the cops. That's neither here or there. The woman's hands of the died
of
the cops.
This program,
a woman?
And in fact, devote an entire day's of worth of programming to this idea that people should share. And therefore, it's called Free Your Mind Friday. Which station do you know that sets aside an entire programming day so that people could express their opinions?
I believe it's only 1 hour, not the whole day. I believe it's the 1 hour for your day, ma'am, not the whole entire program.
In terms of my programming time, you just want to fight. I'm not a fighter.
Absolutely not. No, it's not fighting. It's.
I could fight. You wouldn't like the result, but I could fight. You have completely ignored the fact that it is simply an opinion. Why does it terrify you that I have a different opinion?
Well,
and
I'm
that
not terrified
you
at all.
Have to bring me in line with your opinion, or else it's not worth even listening to, because my opinion is different. I am qualified to render this opinion because of my experience. I've been a journalist for more than 40 years. What's yours?
Let's see. I can go down memory lane, but one of them is not to kowtow to liberal.
You haven't yet established your credentials, even on a human level, that you are capable of interacting with me on a human level. You have to put me down. You have to do this and that to damage my reputation simply because in your head, I disagree with you and I'm not allowed to do that.
Are you allowed
to
attack
a dead woman? Permission as to what I should think. Take, for example, the position that Patricia took. She disagreed. But wasn't that an extraordinary way to position it? She disagreed as well. But did it involve character assassination? Did it involve some kind of opinion as to whether I'm fit to be a journalist because I have a different opinion? No. It was an intelligent, very cogent argument that you put together. And I respect it. And I agree. That's not your spirit. Your spirit is you're on to chastise me. You're on to show me how superior you are. And you're talking about supremacy? What do you think you are demonstrating right now?
This is
it
the whole
is
liberal
white supremacy, what you are demonstrating right now. You haven't come to this discussion in the spirit of having a discussion. You came armed for a kill. And I won't give you that. You don't deserve that. You have no idea how to have a conversation. And certainly as it applies to me specifically, you have taken an entirely wrong tack. This is my program, which I share with the public. Tell me what you're thinking. Let's talk. That's not your spirit at all. You're hostile, you're angry, and you're racist as hell. Who
and
wants
when
to
something
talk
is
to you?
It's ridiculous.
Who wants to I'm talking because of what you have said and the spirit in which you have said it. You are your own. You are
that's
your own
misinter-
proof. I don't have to put up with this crap. You want to have a conversation? I can have a conversation with the toughest opponent. But you are not going to try to, not you're not trying, you're actually doing it. Talking about how wrong I am to do this. It's a point of view. I was very clear when I presented my point of view, the specific angle that I was taking. I was very clear about that. If you were not listening, that's a whole different ballgame. Thanks for calling, I think. Jay from New York, you're on the air.
Well, you preach, you just witnessed white privilege at its supposed best. But as always, the queen that you are, you just smacked them up a little bit. Back in the day, you used to be a little more rougher, you preach. I think age.
I know, I'm mellowing with age.
I think you done mellowed out a little, you treats, because I remember what he would have gotten back in your WBAI days. But listen, what I was really calling about, you treats, is something that people are not really talking about that is about to come into play within the next couple of months. This whole homeless crisis because of people being evicted from their homes because of the pandemic and the moratorium that's going to end in December. Now, I know the government goes around and bails out banks. They're definitely going to bail out the airline industry and any other industry by that time once the election is over that they feel is essential. But what is more essential in this country than people having a place to lay their head at and for children to have a place to lay their head at? Now, this pandemic is, as far as I'm concerned, nobody's fault in a sense that it's just a natural disaster that happened, even though you have a president who has handled it ineptly. And now what disturbs me is he's going to reward his so-called allies and friends. And everyday people are just going to now suffer. And you know what it's like being in a place like New York, being homeless. And I'm not trying to say that Biden is going to do better, because in all truthfulness, I don't think Biden will do better based on the history of what Obama did with the banking industry during the last crises that we had. So what I would like to know is, what's going to happen to these people? What are we going to do as a people? And the effect that it's going to have on people. I'll give you a perfect example. You have people from New York that call up all the time. Allie, my aunt, you know, others, you know, who call up regularly. And, you know, I knew one of the callers, I'm having a blank, I'm forgetting her name, the one that has run for political office. I knew her husband before
Gwen.
He died for over 30 years.
That's Gwen.
Thank you. Gwen, yeah, I knew her husband, Peter, for over 30 years. I mean, we go back to Yusuf Hawkins, marching, things of that nature, NYSA with Sister Soldier and everything. That's how far back I go with him. I'm concerned about what happens to them now walking outside their homes, because danger is lurking out there. I see it now. I've had in the last 6 months two people knock on my door looking for food. And I've been in New York and Harlem for over 50-some years, and that's never happened to me. And for that to happen today, I mean, it's what's to come. I mean, you have people who are really, really starting to rob people, to have all of these things in play that we've never seen before, and no one's really talking about it. So whereby when this pandemic hits, again, if it does, and the homeless crises and all of the things at play, what's going to happen? And we're talking about, to be honest, most major cities that have minority groups in them. I mean, you know, people need to start now talking about this, because I know the government is going to bail out who they deem to be their friends. But what's going to happen to everyday people? And when it happens to everyday people, the tragedies that will come forward, it concerns me, because I would hate to see any elderly person or any person being hurt based on this fact that
let's look at it this way. It's life. Life is happening. And people have to adjust to what is happening, either as the people who are on the receiving end or people who are in a position to do something about it. But it's happening. And we should by now be in the process of mobilizing. We witnessed. We don't need any more instruction, or we don't need to figure out what else is going to happen. We have enough information to start mobilizing. We're late, as a matter of fact, on mobilizing, but it's never too late. We have to do something, except talk about it. Talking about it is great, but at this time, we need to start moving toward action. What is the action that we are going to be taking? And what are we looking for as a result? Specific results, not just in the broad sense. Yes, we're looking for food, but that's not the answer. We're looking for a systemic response. And so we have to get to that point of organizing on different levels to achieve that end. Now, there is where I see, and I agree with you, there isn't very much we can point to so far, because people are just reacting so far. But we have to get to the point of action, not reaction. That brings us to the end of our program today. Thank you so much for listening. It is the weekend, and you know my definite instructions would be to surround yourself or find yourself in the company of people who are about something positive, and that could add dimension to your life. Stay straight and strong, straight meaning on the path, on a good path, and strong, and we'll see each other next week, Monday. Thank you so much for listening, and thanks for your contribution. Bye-bye.